Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We have come now in Galatians chapter 3 to the discussion of why God gave the law, that is, the Mosaic law. Remember, the Judaizers were teaching the Galatian Christians that they needed to add various elements from the Mosaic law to their lives in order to be justified before God, or at the very least, in order to be full-fledged Christians, to be Christians on the highest level. Faith in Jesus Christ alone was not enough to justify one before God. Faith in Jesus Christ alone was not enough to be considered a full member of the family of God. You had to add elements from the Mosaic law. And Paul, of course, is combating that, and so we get to these words in Galatians 3:19. What purpose, then, does the law serve? That is a very logical question, because, of course, the Judaizers were saying God gave the law after he made the covenant with Moses, and therefore you add the Mosaic law to the Abrahamic covenant. Yes, of course, God promised righteousness to Abraham and his seed by faith, or at least the Bible tells us that he made the promise to Abraham and to his seed, and that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so the New Testament makes it clear that that was the signal that righteousness comes by faith, not by law. But the Judaizers were saying, well, God came along 400 years later and added law. So now you've got to take that into account. God did that. God added the law. Yes, God gave a covenant of promise to Abraham, but then God added the law at the time of Moses. So now we've got to have the covenant of promise plus the Mosaic law. And Paul said, no, you're wrong. That's not why God gave the law. Okay then, Paul, why did God give the law? I'm glad you asked. Galatians 3:19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. So there are several items, actually, that are important to keep in mind about the law of Moses. Number one, it was added. Added to what? The Judaizers would say added to the promise that God made with Abraham. Wrong. It was added to the human condition. It was added to meet a particular human need. Namely, man's seeming reluctance to acknowledge his sin and need of righteousness through Christ. So the law was added to magnify man's sin. Number two, it was temporary. It was not given permanently. It had a beginning point and it had an ending point. The beginning point was Sinai. The ending point was Calvary when Christ came. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come. Number three, it was utilitarian. It had a practical purpose in relation to sin and in relation to Christ. In relation to sin, it came to magnify transgressions. It was added because of transgressions. In relationship to Christ, it served the purpose of protecting the seed until Christ came, until the seed came to whom the promise was made, is the way it's put here. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And the law, therefore, served to define Israel as a nation. It gave them a national identity and a certain cohesiveness that would have been impossible apart from the law. But God gave the law through Moses on Mount Sinai to the nation of Israel, and that made them different. That made them separate. This law required them to eat certain foods and to do certain things and to refrain from other things. And it made them a distinct people on the earth. And so, number one, it defined Israel. Number two, it protected Israel. It separated them from the surrounding nations to keep them from intermingling, amalgamating, getting sidetracked, getting drawn into idolatry, getting drawn into immorality, and they needed to be protected until Christ came. And that's number three. It preserved Israel, Abraham's physical seed, the line of Christ, until the Messiah should come. But when Christ came, the purpose for the law was completed. Do you understand that? At least the purpose in relationship to Christ. Because when Christ came, it was no longer needed. It served as a custodial purpose. It served to define Israel, to protect Israel, to preserve Israel, until the seed came to whom the promise was made. Now, as far as magnifying sin and defining transgression, it continues in that respect. That purpose continues as long as there are sinners who need a Savior, as long as the age of grace is still here, and the gospel is still being proclaimed, and God is calling men to Christ through the gospel. There will be a need for the law, or certain aspects of the law, to define sin and to magnify sin and to cause people to feel the weight of their sin. But as far as the national purposes relating to Israel are concerned, they're all gone. When Christ came, that purpose was completed. And so it was utilitarian. It had a practical purpose toward sinners, to show them their sinfulness. Toward Christ, to protect his physical line of descendancy, the people that he was coming from, to protect them until he came. But then number four, it was mediated. That's the last part of verse 19 and also verse 20. It was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. This is an interesting phrase. It was mediated, and the point of that is it was therefore inferior. Why? Well, we are told here that there are actually two intermediaries between God and Israel in regard to the law. Number one, angels. It was appointed, we're told here, through angels. And this is not the first time we're told that. Stephen said the same thing in his address to the Sanhedrin before he was martyred in Acts chapter 7, verse 38 and 53. And the book of Hebrews tells us the same thing in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. So here's some information that we missed going through the Old Testament, because as far as I know, this information is not found there. But it's found three times, or four if you count the two verses in Stephen's sermon. Four times in the New Testament we're told that this law of Moses was appointed by, was mediated by, was ordained by angels. In other words, angels gave it to Moses, the law. It came from God. The angels brought it from God, but angels gave it to Moses. And furthermore, Moses himself was a mediator. So we read in Deuteronomy 5:5 and also in 1 Corinthians 10:2. So Israel had two layers of mediators, two layers of mediation between them and God. God gave the law, But it came from God through angels, or maybe we'd say by angels, and then angels gave it to Moses, and Moses gave it to Israel. What does that demonstrate? Well, it demonstrates that the law is inferior, because, you see, the promise that came to Abraham was delivered directly by God. The law was delivered indirectly by God to Israel through angels, through Moses. Get the point? The Judaizers are saying, yes, God made the promise to Abraham, but God then gave the law. You must add the law to the promise, put the two together, if you're going to have the full package, because God gave both. And Paul says, no. No. The law was added because of human need, but it was temporary, starting at Sinai and ending at Calvary. And Calvary's already come. We're talking now about the far side, the other side of Christ coming. So that purpose is over. It was utilitarian. As far as sinners are concerned, it has a purpose of making their sin exceedingly sinful, but that's to bring them to Christ. As far as people who have already come to Christ, such as the Galatian believers, it doesn't have that function anymore. And as far as its function, utilitarian function in regard to the nation of Israel is concerned, to define, protect, and preserve them, that's over when Christ came. That's no longer needed. And furthermore, keep in mind that the law is obviously inferior to promise, because promise came to Abraham directly by the voice of God, but the law came to Israel through the mediation of angels, number one, and Moses, number two. Furthermore, the law is a contract covenant, whereas the promise that was made to Abraham is a promise covenant. And that's the meaning of verse 20. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. You see, a contract covenant is relevant only when there are two or more parties. And then you need mediators, or at least mediators become relevant if there are two or more parties to a contract. If we think of the term covenant as a contract made between two parties. Well, sometimes that is done through a mediator. Sometimes lawyers serve in that capacity to be a mediator between the two parties of the contract, if it's a contract covenant. But you see, the covenant that was made with Abraham was not a contract covenant. What was that? That was a promise covenant. And there's no place for a mediator in a promise covenant, because it only takes one party to fulfill the terms of a promise covenant. A promise covenant is more like a will. When somebody makes out their will, they just make out their will, and they register it, and that's it. It doesn't take somebody else to agree to it. It's not a contract covenant. It's not, this is your part, and if you do that, then I'll do this part, and I'm going to do this part if you do that part. It's not that at all. It's a promise, and it only takes one party to put that kind of a contract into effect. The promise God made to Abraham was unconditional. It was a promise. It was an unmediated contract. And that, of course, is also superior to a contract covenant that requires two parties, and both of them have to meet the terms of the covenant. So in every way, the law is inferior. You can't drag it up now and make that part of the promise of God in salvation made to Abraham. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.